We're online. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online this evening to our Bible study at Waldo Baptist Church. We thank the Lord for the warmer weather and the thawing that's taking place. Want to remember Jack Williams' family in our prayers as his brother passed away. Want to remember that family in our prayers. Lift them up in prayer. We will cut off our online at 6:45, and the youth will be coming in here to pray with us for prayer time. So we'll go to 6:45 with our Bibles. I didn't mean 6:45. 6:15. 6:15. I meant 45 minutes. 6:15. Don't laugh, John. I could say something about you staying home watching football, but I won't. All right. All right, we're in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. And I know you're going to say, well, when are we ever going to get through with this? But we will, if we live long enough. First Peter, I'm sorry, did I say second? I just wanted to see if you was listening. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 is where we're going to start. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. And what we're studying about now is Christian privilege. All the privilege we have in Christ. And that's what we're studying about now. And the first thing we studied about was Christian union, that we are united with Christ. We are Christ in us and us in Him. We are united, we are in union with Christ when we're born again, when we're saved. And that never changes. That life, when He talks about Him as a cornerstone and us as living stones, we have received life from the cornerstone that has eternal life, and that eternal life is now in us through Christ, who is the cornerstone and the foundation of which everything is built off of. We said everything is built off of Christ and the teaching of the apostles and the prophets as a foundation for the church and everyone in the church. Everything is built off of that. And so that's what we were studying about and talking about this morning. So I'll begin reading in chapter 2 of verse 4, and we'll read down through here, and then we'll come back and start breaking it down. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so we read these scriptures here, and as we look at them, as we said, and the key to everything is the first part of the fourth verse. As you come to Him. All this privilege that we have in Christ begins when we come to Him. It doesn't matter what religion you are, you have to come to Christ. That is where it all starts. When we came to Christ as individuals, that's where our privilege began. That's where our privilege began. That's where we became like the living stone, the capstone, the cornerstone that we had come to. And now we are being built as a household, a spiritual house unto the Lord because of that. And that being built is what's taking place in our life right now. We're being hewn out to fit perfectly into that spiritual house of the Lord. And as you come to Him, not only has the meaning of we came to Him and that started everything, but as you continue to come to Him. Because if you've truly been saved and you're born again, it's not a one-time happening. The one-time happening is conviction of our sin, regeneration that takes place in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit when we're saved and we're born again. That is the beginning of all our spiritual privilege that we have in Christ. But it is all in Him, and it all begins with Him. And so, as a Christian, then, as one who truly is a child of God, having repented of our sins and placed our faith in the work of Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we continue to come to Him because we are in Him and He is in us. It is a way of life that we have as an individual. We have communion with Him every day throughout our life until we finally are with Him and a glorified body in glory one day. But to me, as an individual, when the Bible says, pray without ceasing, well, I don't pray outwardly all the time, verbally all the time, but I don't think there's ever a time in the day that my mind is not tuned in with who my Savior is, where my help is, and where my privilege is in Christ. Because it is as natural as breathing to someone that's been born again to in their mind and in their heart to continually have communion with the one that has saved you and has taken away your sins and now lives in you and you live in Him. So that is a ongoing thing that begins when you come to Him, Christ. And so I would like to say, if you're watching online, this is where salvation is, when you come to Christ. Because there's no other name under heaven and earth where we may be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so regardless of what religion you are, or what faith you are, or what you believe in, nothing is ever going to change until you come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, the only thing you have to offer is your sins. Because that's all you have as someone who has never been born from above. So as you come to Him is the beginning of everything spiritual privilege in the eyes of the Lord and in our own lives as individuals as well. So I wanted to make that a point as we start out here and we look at this. So our first spiritual privilege that we looked at was union with Christ and Christ with us. The second spiritual privilege that we look at is just what we talked about, access to the Lord. Access to the Lord. If you think about it, it is an unbelievable miracle. Salvation is such a miracle. I always hear people say, well, do you believe in miracles? I am one. I am one. I am a miracle. Because when Christ saved me and came to live in my heart and life in the person of the Holy Spirit, and everything changed in my life, that is a work of God. That is a miracle. When you consider that the one who created the heavens and the earth now lives in you, what greater miracle could you have than that? Than knowing that the one that spoke everything into existence and hold it together by the power of His Word lives in you and you live in Him. What greater miracle could you have? I mean, there is none that is greater than that. And so that's where our spiritual privilege come. And being in union with Him is a miracle, the greatest miracle you could think of. And then access that we have to God, to Christ. When you look at verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. To be a holy priesthood. Then you look over at verse 9 of the second chapter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And so, as Baptists, and when we study through the Baptist faith and message, and what we truly believe, it is called the priesthood of the believer. The priesthood of the believer. In other words, we realize that we only have one high priest, and that's Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek. We don't have to go to any individual to have access to the Lord except Jesus Christ. It's all through Christ, and that's the reason, too, coming to Him continually as a believer. And so as we think about this, then I want us to think about, first of all, that privilege that we have. And I doubt if there's a day goes by that at some time during that day, at least it shouldn't be that way. I don't think there's a day that goes by that sometime during that day we're coming to Him. We're coming to Him. I know that. That's how Kay and I begin our day praying before we eat breakfast. We don't just pray over our food, but we're praying for everyone on our prayer list, and we're praying that the Lord's will be done, and we are in communion with Him to start the day. And then as you go through that day, there are different times during that day that you just naturally turn to Him in prayer and seek Him because of what's going on in your life, and sometimes just because enjoyment. Sometimes I think some of my best times in a deer stand were, if any of you were deer hunters, I always got out there well before daylight. I would go through the woods in the dark, and I would have the little things on the tree, and I'd be able to, my light would catch those, and I could get to my deer stand, and then I would sit up there, and it would still be dark, and nothing moving around, and there you could really talk to the Lord, and you could think about what was going on in your life, and you could think about how you'd been blessed. And some of my best times, in fact, I've got a book at home that one of my dear friends in Knoxville, Tennessee sent me, Marty Love, and it's all about a Christian's life in a deer stand. And it goes into all these different things that you get to see and experience that God has allowed you to experience during that time. And so I really enjoy it. But anyway, that's enough said about that. But what we ask ourselves the question then, what does it mean then? Well, it means the priesthood of believer, that every one of us, every one of you, every one of us are part of the priesthood. We're part of the priesthood. Now that's hard for some Baptists to grasp because when they think about priesthood, they're thinking about preachers. And they're thinking about, oh, that must be Brother Nate when he stands up there and preaches the word and shares with us the word. That must be the priesthood. No, every one of you, if you've truly been born again and Christ lives in you, you are part of the priesthood of the believer. And that's what we're looking at as we study these scriptures right here. You're part of that spiritual house that God is building up, His church, and you are part of that, of the priesthood of the believer. So then we ask ourselves a question. Well, what does that entail? What does it mean to be in a part of the priesthood? Well, if we look at that, we're going back in the Old Testament, and we'll look at the characteristics of a priest. A characteristics of a priest in the Old Testament. And there, I believe I've got 10 different things that are part of the priest in the Old Testament. The very first one, so important, the priest was chosen by God. The priest was chosen by God. If you've been saved and you've been born again, you were chosen by God before the foundation of the earth. The priests in the Old Testament were chosen by God. That was the first characteristic that we saw concerning them. Secondly, the second characteristic that we see is the priests were cleansed of sin. They were ceremonially cleansed of sin. Well, you were cleansed of sin when you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ and you were born again. You were cleansed of sin. And that's a characteristic we see of the priesthood at that time. The third thing that we find back then is they were clothed in special garments for service. They were clothed in special garments of service. If you've ever seen a drawing or a picture of what they would have looked like back in the Old Testament times, they had a certain wardrobe that they wore and a breastplate that they wore as well, representing the tribes of Israel. And there were stones within that breastplate. And so they had special garments. When you were saved, you were born again, you were clothed with His righteousness. You were clothed with His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. You were clothed with His righteousness. Now then, the fourth thing that we see is they were anointed with authority. They were anointed to speak for God. They were anointed to speak for God. Now you were anointed with the Holy Spirit when you were saved and you were born again. You were anointed with the authority of the Holy Spirit. And so we see the likeness as we look at these different things. And so you were anointed as well. The fifth characteristic that we see, they were prepared for duty. They were prepared for duty. And in your life, as a believer, that is what is going on right now through sanctification. Not only were you saved and regenerated and born again, but now you're in a process that's called sanctification, and you are being prepared for duty, as they were at that time in the Old Testament as well. The sixth thing that we see, they were called to obedience. They were called to obedience. To obey the Word, to obey the Word of God. As believers, we've been called to the same thing, that we would obey the Word of God. We've been called to obedience. We'll look at these individually, but I'm just giving you this list now. The seventh thing They were ordained to be submissive to the Word of God. When we think of a prophet, a lot of times we think of someone that is foretelling, talking about the future that hadn't happened yet. But most of the prophets' time was spent foretelling. They were simply repeating what God had given to them, what God had told them. They were foretelling, not foretelling, when you think about the prophets of the Old Testament as well. When you look at that, then that is exactly what you see. Then the eighth thing in Malachi verses 4 to 6, chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, it talks about the priest being one who walks with God. We've been called to walk in communion and fellowship with God. We've been called to walk in communion and fellowship with God. The ninth thing, they had been called to have an impact on sinners. Now, I don't like to use that word sinners because we're all sinners. There are just two kind of people in the world, saved sinners and lost sinners. We're saved sinners that have been forgiven of our sin. I always told people, when you're born again and Christ comes into your heart, you don't automatically become sinless, but you'll sin less as God works in your life, as you've repented of your sins and you walk with Him. And so they had been called to have an impact, I'd rather say, on those who did not believe. On those who did not believe. Now the ninth thing, they were called to be messengers of the Lord. They were called to be messengers of the Lord. They had a proclamation. They gave proclamation. They proclaimed what God had given to them. And so the tenth thing was that. They were messengers of the Lord called to make proclamation. Now then, I'm going to go through each one as we think about these in our own life. How do we fit? If we're part of the priesthood of the believer, how do we fit compared to, we look at the characteristics of the priest in the Old Testament. How do we fit in those characteristics? Well, number one, we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world to be His own. We were chosen by God as the priest in the Old Testament. Number two, we were cleansed of our sin through the miracle of regeneration. We were cleansed of our sin through the miracle of regeneration. Number three, we were clothed for service with the garment of the righteousness of Christ. We received the righteousness of Christ. We are positionally perfectly righteous in the eyes of God because our sins have been forgiven and taken away. Practically, we're still growing in the Lord and sinning less, but positionally, we are perfectly righteous in the eyes of God because you were declared righteous, justification, justified in His sight because you repented of your sin and you placed your faith in Christ. So we see that as well when we look at the Old Testament as well and the priests there. Number four, we are anointed with power by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're anointed with power by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everyone that's saved has the Spirit of God in them. Believe me, your life would not have changed if the Spirit of God had not come to live in you. Your life changed when he did. Okay. All right. So we are anointed with power by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Number five, we're prepared for duty through spiritual gifts and the instruction of the Word of God. We are prepared for duty. And that's the process of sanctification. Everyone that's saved has spiritual gifts that God has given us. And all of us, the thing that amazes me is He places each one in the body of Christ as they are needed to fulfill His plan and His purpose within His church. And I believe that with all my heart, that God brings the people in that He has chosen to fill each place that's needed within the local church. I believe that. I've seen it all my ministry, all my life. This is a work of God, and it was a work they were prepared for duty, and that's what we see that we are as well through spiritual gifts and instructions from the Word of God. Number six, we're called unto obedience through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. We are called to obedience through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. We're called to obedience. Number seven. We are made submissive to the Word in that God grants us the love of the truth. Give you that one again. We are made submissive to the Word of God that grants to us the love of the truth. You will have a natural desire for the Word of God if you've truly been saved. You will have a desire because that's the only way you will know who God is, as He has revealed Himself to you through Scripture. And I will say this, that's the only way you'll know who you are, as God reveals to you who you are through the truth of the Scripture. And that's the only way you'll know how to make it through this life as well as you can through the truth of the Word of God. And what Brother Nate preached about this morning, I thought was excellent. I thought it was something that everybody needs. That everybody needs. I don't know anybody that lives in this culture, in this age, in this world, that doesn't suffer from some kind of anxiety as on a daily basis. And if you want to get more anxiety, just watch the news. And if you really want to get into chaos, get on social media. And I don't know where you can go from there to make it even worse, but those are two sources that can bring you anxiety and chaos into your life. And so that's something that we really don't need. We need to be able to turn it over to the Lord. And like He said this morning, sometimes that's really hard to do. That's really, even when we know we need to, we don't want to let go. Somehow we have this within our flesh to think we can handle this, we can do it ourselves. And I found out in my life, well, you can ask my wife, usually when I handle it, it messes up instead of letting God handle it. And so that's something that we learn through sanctification as well. All right. Now, number eight, we have been allowed to walk with God in communion and in fellowship. We can now walk with God in communion and fellowship. And just think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world. What a wonderful thing it was. I cannot even imagine what it was like. And I don't guess I will till I get to heaven. But I have the opportunity to have communion and fellowship with the Lord right here and now in my life as a believer, as the priest did in the Old Testament as well. And number nine, we have been made to have an impact on unbelievers. If you're truly saved, you'll want to see other people saved. If you've truly been born again, you'll want to see other people born again. I mean, it's as natural as anything I can think of, is a desire to see other people come to Christ. Whether it's through missions, whether it's through your local church, other churches, whether it's through our individual witness or whatever that it might be, we will have a desire to see people we care about, even people we don't know, we'll have a desire to see them come to Christ. And that's something that is innate within a true believer in their life as well. And number 10, we have been called out to be messengers of the Lord. We have been called out to be messengers of the Lord. I kind of remember the old story of the guy that got saved, and somebody asked him, said, "Well, how can I be saved?" And he said, "Well, you go to that church and you sit down on the fourth pew from the front on the right side, and when they sing Amazing Grace, you go forward." And he said, "That's how I got saved." And so it's not quite like that, but it could be. And so we need to tell people, we need to share our testimony. That's the greatest story you've got to tell, is how you came to Christ and how he became the Lord of your life. Believe me, that is the greatest story that you can ever tell. And that story just keeps building as you go through your life as a Christian, as you see what God has done in your life. That testimony just keeps building as you go through that. And so those are the 10 characteristics we see of the priesthood in the Old Testament and of us as believers today. Those are the 10 characteristics. Now the question is this. Do you now know you're responsible for that? Do you now know you? Because I tell you what happens in a lot of churches. They either say, let somebody else do it. And you know the problem with that is you can't ever find somebody else. They either say, let somebody else do it. Or they say, well, that's what we hired the preacher for. Well, you got one of him and 300 of us. So you figure out how God's going to work this thing out. And so it takes each and every one of us. I think in 1981, Waldo Baptist Church led the state in baptisms for a church of our size. We led the whole state in baptism. You know how it got done? Each one win one in 81. And everybody took it on themselves to believe that enough to go through that year being a witness to the salvation that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody just believed they could win one in 81. And that year, the church led the whole state in baptism. You know, the thing about it is, the message hadn't changed. The Holy Spirit hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. And God can use you. The same God lives in you that lives in me or Nate. I mean, the same Holy Spirit lives in you that lives in us. We're not any different than you are. And so, all you do is tell your story and let people know what God has done in your life. And then, you know, the rest is up to Him. The rest is up to Him. You know, I know people sometimes, they tell people their witness or their testimony. And they walk away feeling defeated because they didn't see at that time anything happen. You planted a seed. You planted a seed. And it's up to the Lord to bring that to fruition. But you have planted a seed. And that's what God asks us to do. To be willing to do that. To be willing to share in our testimony what God has done for us. I know from the pulpit, I've preached evangelistic sermons and given invitation, and I thought, boy, today's the day somebody's going to walk down this aisle and be saved. And I preached my heart out, and I would preach so hard I'd be give out when I got through. And nothing happened. And maybe a month later, I'd preach a sermon on tithing, and somebody'd walk forward and get saved because of what I preached a month ago. You see, you just sow the seed. And that's up to the Lord how the seed falls and how it works in the individual's life. But it's up to us to sow. And so that's what God has called all of us to do, no matter who we are. It's not just the staff, it's all of us. That's what God, and if you're watching online, you've been born again, you've been saved. That's part of your life. That's part of your responsibility as a priesthood of the believer, is to make that proclamation in your life. That's what we are to do. But those 10 things sum up the responsibility of the priest in the Old Testament and of us as born again believers in our lives today as we go through that. Now then, what is our function then as a priest? Well, it tells us here. It tells us here. He says, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now notice what it says, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offering spiritual sacrifice. What happened in the Old Testament? There were animal sacrifices. There were grain offering sacrifices. There were every kind of sacrifice you could imagine in the Old Testament that they gave. When Christ came, that all ceased. That all ceased. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And what God wants from us as part of the priesthood of born-again believers in Christ is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice in our life. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and I'm about to run out of time, but if you go to the book of Romans, that's where I'm headed, you may beat me there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore I urge you, I implore you, brothers, sisters, what? In view of God's mercy. Now why does he say that? In view of everything that God has done in my life. When I look back on my life and I see everything that God has done in my life, in view of God being a merciful God and giving me mercy in my life, how He's been merciful to me, in view of that, in view of all of God's mercies, everything He's done for you in all your life, he says, in view of that, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So, what is it that God wants from me? Well, He wants me to offer spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God, or that is pleasing to God. And we'll get into that in a little detail. I don't have time tonight. But what it entails is this. It's not the motive is very important. It's not what you want. It's what you know He wants. The motive is very important. That is acceptable to God. We've got a whole list of what we want. We've got a whole list. But how many of them fit what you know according to the Word of God that God wants? That is pleasing and acceptable to Him. So that's another reason people that are part of the priesthood of believers have to be in the Word of God. Because how else are you going to know what is pleasing and acceptable to God or what is the will of God unless you're in the Word of God? You won't know. You won't have a clue. How many times have you asked God for something on your list, but you never looked to see if it's on His list? Or how many times have you done something with the wrong motive, not looking to see if it was the right motive that God gives you in His Word? Did you do it for His glory, or did you do it for your gain? Did you do it for His glory, or did you do it for your popularity? Did you do it for His glory, or did you do it to try to gain something for yourself? You see, the secret to all of this is what is acceptable and pleasing to God. What is acceptable and pleasing to God? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. You see, everything that is good that has happened in your life has been through Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. Everything that's good that has happened to you in your life has been through Jesus Christ. So we have to know what pleases Him. What pleases Him. And how do we do that? We do that every day we live. Every day we live. It may be just sharing a word of encouragement with somebody. It may be texting someone and saying, I'm thinking about you, I love you, I'm praying for you. We're going to look in detail at the different things that would make up what is pleasing and acceptable to God. But this is the things we're talking about. I'll give you another instance. When these fellas go out and build a deck for somebody that's disabled or somebody's getting ready to have surgery and they're not going to be able to get in and out of their house unless they do it. If they're doing it with the right motive to glorify God, that is pleasing and acceptable to God. There are so many things that we could think of that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. I mean, things like, you got to church and it's pouring down rain and you've got an umbrella and you see a widow getting out of her car and she hadn't got one and you go out and walk her under the umbrella into the church. I mean, simple things. Simple things that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. And so we're going to cut.